in, but I think we'll start. This is a good idea independent of Corona. Oh wait, are we all English speakers or who's here?
Eliezer.
Eliezer is more of an English. Eliezer has a Brooklyn accent. He's more of an English speaker than I am.
He speaks Brooklyn.
This is a good idea we should do every year. And for a few years, I've been suggesting it. It's worthwhile reviewing the halachot, both for the Bal Koreh and for the Makri. For many years, I've been zoche to be the Makri in our shul. This year, of course, we need to have a lot more hands on deck because we're breaking up into one, two, three, four, five different minyanim because of the corona. So we have some people that are more experienced, some people that are newer to the operation. So I just want to review the basic halachot. I assume that the balei tokeya have been practicing and they know what to do. Sometimes it's more pressure. I mean, this is a debate that Corey and I sometimes have. Sometimes it's more pressure on the makri, only in the sense that the makri is the umpire and has to make decisions on the spot of whether or not everything came out all right, and whether or not you have to repeat, and whether or not the kolot were kemoshet tzarich. So, just very briefly, I want to review those halachot of the tkiat shofar. The practical halachot. We're not going to review the halachot about kavana. Everybody should have kavana. We make that announcement. I always think it's a little silly, right? Where somebody comes up and says, everybody should have kavana. The Baal Tokeya will say the brachot to be motzi you, and you should have kavana to be yotzi, etc. Doesn't everybody know that? I would imagine that they do. But nevertheless, it's a good practice to remind everyone of those halachot before the tkiat shofar. There were all types of decisions that were made by the Vad Hagaboyim and the Vad of the Shul in terms of what we're cutting out and what we're shortening. Apparently, we're not saying Lam Natseach all seven times. It's going to take a while. In most of the Minyanim, there's only going to be one Sefer Torah. So when they're rolling the Sefer Torah from the Kriya all the way to the Maftir, if you want, you can say the extra Lam Natseachs then.
Sorry, Jeff. Sorry to interject the question if this is not the appropriate time. Yeah. Has the decision of what's being said or what's being skipped, et cetera, been circulated? Because
that is a question for Adi Krohn.
Sorry, Corey. I'll send you a list of right now. I'll send you a list of recommendations, but I can talk to you separately also.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
But a lot of those decisions about, look, any one thing to cut out, any one thing you say, it only takes 2 minutes. It only takes 3 minutes. A little bit, it depends on how you say it. You can say any of the piyutim quick, or you can say them long. But the idea was the need to shorten the davening, particularly for the people that are going to be davening out of doors in the heat, and particularly for everybody who's davening with the mask on. There's a limit. Normally, our davening on Rosh Hashanah, we usually start at 7:30, and depending on who the shliach tzibur is, and depending if we're fortunate to have Rabbi Riskin come and say a drasha, and other things, davening can take up to 5 hours, sometimes a little more. It's just not possible to sit with the desk on davening for that long. So we made decisions to start at Nishmat, to get a head start, to cut out various piyutim, to shorten other things. But the one thing that we were trying to make a decision with, which it seems to me that the Jewish world is with us, there was discussion about not blowing all mea kolot, right? By not fulfilling...
Yeah.
The minhag of blowing 100 kiyot and making do with a shorter amount, we decided, and it seems to me this is pretty universal, to stick with the mea kolot. But in order to do that, we had to cut other things. The custom in our shul for many years is that we blow the final 40 kolot at the end of Chazarat HaShatz, 30 in the middle of Kaddish before Titkabel Tzloton, and the final 10 immediately at the end of Kaddish, and not later after Ein Kelokeinu or Aleinu, as is printed in some Machazorim. We're asking that all of the satellite minyanim of the shul continue with this minhag that we have been practicing in a shul these many years. 30 kolot at the beginning, of course, the Tkiot de Miushav. 30 kolot, 10, 10, and 10, al seder habrachot in the Chazarat HaShatz. 30 kolot in the middle of Kaddish, before Tetkabel Tzlaton, and the final 10 immediately at the end of Kaddish. The main thing to know is when things get messed up. As you know, there are three different types of notes. There's the Tashat, which is a Rosh Teva for Tkia Shvarim Tkia, which is one long note, three plaintive notes, ooh, 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 followed by a long note. There's the Tarat Tkia Trua. It's a resh because the first letter of Tkia and Trua is the same, so you need a different letter. Tkia Trua Tkia, which is always with the Tkia at the front and the Tkia at the end, with the nine piercing in the middle. And then there's the combination sandwich of the Tashrat, Tkia Shvarim, Tkia Shvarim Trua, Tkia. There are different minhagim about exactly how each note is supposed to sound. None of these minhagim are ma'akev. Each Baal Tokeya does, you know, according to his own position. For example, Corey, I always forget, that Tkiot Miyushav, you sound the Shvarim as an up and down or straight?
No, in the Miyushav Pshutot.
In the Miyushav Pshutot.
And then during the Chazara, I do as an up. And then during the last, I do as a down.
As a down. So demonstrate that for us.
You want me to demonstrate it?
Yeah, you have a chauffeur handy?
I do. It'll take me a second to go get it. I can.
I didn't realize it'd be a live demo. This is exciting.
Nothing half-baked at Mishkan Tzipora. This is the real deal.
It's the second demo. First we have Steve's live beard, and then we'll have a live Kriyat Shofar.
Okay, so the Pshutot is just straight. And then the up goes down, goes.
Okay. So each of the Baalei Tokeya canons should do as is their own practice or ability. In terms of when you have to, let's see, Corey's hydrated. That's very important to be hydrated.
Right.
That iced tea, it's going to keep him moist. Here is the very best summary of the main halachot of the Tkiyat Shofar. Everything you need, the simple guide for the Makri to know, is always printed in the Luach Eretz Yisrael of Rav Tukachinsky. A couple of years ago, I took an old Luach and I ripped out the pages. It's printed every year, the same Klalim Latkiyot. I recommend that you get a copy. I can email this to you. And I always, this is what I'm doing during Chazaras HaShatz of Shachris. I'm always looking this over to review the halachot. So it's the simplest thing now is this is all we have to do is to go over this. And if there are any questions, then we're done.
Yeah, so Jeff, can you send that out? That'd be helpful.
Yes, I will forward that. I will forward that by email afterwards. Tkia, kol pashut v'yashar bli shum shever. Straight note. Now, if when you're blowing the tkia, it gets a little wobbly. Not the way Corey demonstrated the shvarim that go, but you're blowing a tkia and it goes, your yodse, that's fine. Ideally, it's a perfectly clear straight note. But if it gets a little, if it deviates a little bit, it's still a kosher tkia. Kol pashut v'yashar bli shum shever. But if you're doing, and then you pause, and then you continue on, then it becomes a shever. But as long as it's one continuous note, even if the kol varies, it's a kosher tkiya. Shvarim lifachot shlosha shvarim. That's our minhag. We do, this is the minhag in almost all Ashkenazi communities. The shever is three notes, whether they're three straight notes or they're undulating notes. It's three distinct notes. There are other minhagim about how many shvarim you should do, but we always do three. And the trua is nine trumitim, nine pips in a straight row. There are different minhagim also about how many pips there are in a trua. You should aim for nine. We'll come back later to what happens if you do less than nine, what happens if you do more than nine. You can do more than nine, but the only problem then becomes having a trua which is too long. Orech hatkia betashat keorech hashvarim. The tkia, the first note, should be as long or longer than whatever is in the middle. This is the main thing. This is the main reason that a makri has to send the Baal Tokeya back. Some makriim can just intuitively know in their heart how long each thing is. Others are a little more OCD and keep an eye on their stopwatch. The tkia at the beginning and the tkia at the end, the bread that makes up the sandwich of the meat in the middle, has to be as long or longer than whatever is in the middle. In reality, unless something goes wrong with your Baal Tokeya, like he starts spouting blood from the lip, which, you know, in the history of tkiyat shofar has happened in our shul, unless something goes terribly wrong, the only real problem will be with the tashrat, right? Because what's that, Ephraim?
It suggested with Nate is to time yourself on the middle section, on the long, each section.
Right.
How long does it take?
Right.
5 seconds.
The main problem.
And then you know your tekiah is going longer than that middle section.
Right. But so the main problem is usually with the tashrat, because the tashrat, the tkiyot have to cover the double, the combination note. So that's obviously a tashrat is going to take longer, particularly when you're doing the tashrat b'shtei neshimot in two breaths, because that adds in an extra beat between the shvarim and the truah. So that's usually the one that the makri has to be most attentive to make sure that the tkiyot are long enough. Over the years, Corey and I, like a pitcher and catcher, have developed a whole series of hand signals. Right? He knows if I'm going like this, like making this lengthening, so I'm telling him, make sure those tkiyot are good and long. Right? If I go like this, if I hold two fingers up to my mouth, that's the signal for shtei neshimot, right? To do the tashrat with two breaths, but we'll come back to that momentarily. So this is what Rav Tukachinsky says. Orech hatkiya b'tashrat k'orech hashvarim. B'tarat k'orech hatrua. B'tashrat k'orech shvarim trua. The tkiya has to be as long or longer than whatever is in the middle. V'chein hatkiya shel tashrat aruka yoter. So the tashrat has to have the longest tkiyot. Tkiya o shvarim o trua shelo alta yafe. If the note didn't come out nice, in rak lo asa betocha kol acher miatkiot acherot, o shektsara mihashiur, uveshvarim kigon shasa rak shnei shvarim, ubetrua kishekatsara filu pachot mishlosha trumitin, shepasula kol adeot, chozer oto atkiya, o ashvarim o hatrua.
And you go back to the tkiya before?
No. Then you do not need to, as long as you haven't made one of the other notes. So let's say you blow a tkiya, and then you have to blow a shvarim. And instead of a shvarim, you blow what I'll call a dud. It's nothing. It's just you go... That's nothing. That's not a...
That was good. That was a good imitation.
right? That's just the dud. It's as if it doesn't exist. So you blew a tkiah, then you blew a dud instead of a shmarim. So then you blow a shmarim. But if you blow it, if you're supposed to blow a tkiah, shmarim, tkiah, and you blow a tkiah, and then you try blowing a shmarim, but your lips give out, and instead of a shmarim, you blow, you start blowing a truah, so then it ruins the whole shura, the whole line, and you have to go back to the tkiah rishona. Even though all you did was not all nine pips, because there is an opinion that the truah only requires three pips. So you blew a truah according to one shita. So now if you blew the shvarim that you're supposed to, you would have a tkiah, truah, shvarim, tkiah. There ain't no such note as that. And therefore the whole line is ruined. You have to go back to the original tkiah. If you blow a nice long tkiah, and then you blow whatever you're supposed to blow in the middle, shvarim, truah, shvarim, truah, and then you blow a tkiah at the end, which is too short. It's a beat shorter than whatever's in the middle. You blow the whole line, you have to go back to the tkiah at the beginning. Right? So whenever you blow the wrong note, even a wrong note according to only some shitot, like you blow two shvarim. We blow three shvarim. But if you blow two shvarim, maybe you yotzei bidieved. So you have to go back to the original tkiah. Then he says, kol shinui kol me'av ledako tsarud. If the note goes from being a good rich note to a kind of like thin note, or if it kind of sounds congested, you know, sometimes the kol comes out like a nice clear tkiah, and sometimes it sounds like there's something stuck there in your shofar, that is not posel. And for that, you do not need to go back. Aval, he says, aval im safeklo im asa et hashvarim o et hatrua kedin al yachsar oto shinit. Let's say you blow a tkiah, and then you blow a shvarim, but you're not sure, the makri's not sure whether or not it was kedin, it was proper, then you have to go back to the beginning. Because maybe that shvarim was okay. So if you say, gee, I'm not sure, let me blow another shvarim or another truah. So maybe you're blowing two of them. And instead of having a tkiah, shvarim, tkiah, you have a tkiah, shvarim, shvarim, tkiah. And that is pasul. So in that case, you have to go back to the beginning. But whenever you have to go back, you only have to go back to the beginning of that line.
Right.
Afilu imasak gimel trumitin. Mikavan sheyeshamim sheyatsa lo yachzor et hatrua ela chozer letkiyah rishona. So when it comes to a trua, if all you can get out, you get out three pips, and then your lips give out. So because there is an opinion that that was a valid trua, but we're not going to leave it at that. We're not going to rely on that opinion. You have to go back to the beginning because maybe it was a good trua, and if you blow another trua again, you're sticking something into the sandwich between the two pieces of bread that can't be there. So then you have to go back to the beginning. If you have any suffix that the thing in the middle came out properly or improperly, zeha klal, go back. You don't lose anything by going back to the tkiah rishona, right? You don't want to do it too much because your poor Baal Tokeya will conk out on you. But if you have to, if there's any suffix, you can always just go back to the tkiah rishona, the first tkiah of that line.
Right. But again, going back to your first qualification, that if it's a dud and if no proper sound comes out and you're struggling to get the call of whether it's a shvarim or trua, you don't have to go back for that because you haven't made any sound sandwich yet.
Correct. It's as if there's nothing there. It's completely irrelevant. It's only a problem if the sound that comes out.
Is there a time limit on that?
No, no. I mean, you know, within reason. No, but in other words, if you have to, if it takes, you know, sometimes it takes the Baltokeia like a second to get the chauffeur placed right, to firm up his lip or it's something. No, there's no time limit in between. As long as you're still standing there, it's not considered a hapsik. Bitashat bitrua shvarim trua im beemtza shvarim olifaneha olich alachareh itchil haria. If you're doing a shvarim and you say like somehow at the end you give out of the last third of the shvarim and it comes out like a trua, right? So then it ruins the note and you have to go back kilkelet oto seder v'chozer letzkiya rishona shel oto seder. And the same thing, the opposite. If you're doing a shvarim and you start lahariya afilu gamar hatshua chozer l'shvarim v'lo l'tkiya. Bit hashrat. Tkiya shvarim trua tkiya. Im be'emtza hashvarim hitchil lehatriya afilu gamar hatshua chozer l'shvarim v'lo l'tkiya. Right? But if you're doing tkiya shvarim, you go ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. That's really nothing because there's no such note as that. So then you can just go back to the shvarim. Aval b'safek im hayta kedin o shita'a v'hikdim trua l'shvarim. Right, if you by mistake did the trua before the shvarim, o shehosip trua shniya. Right, kigon tashrar tkiya shvarim trua, and then another set of trua, o bet shvarim kigon tashashar. Tkiya shvarim shvarim tkiya oshitaka bet pa'amim shvarim. I mean, I've never heard or seen anyone ever actually, never seen this actually happening. But in these cases, you would go back to the beginning of that line. Betkiya rishona b'chol ofen shekil kala afilu imasa betocha kol acher shever otrua kilkel rak et ota hatkiya v'chozer v'chozra. Right, if you mess up on the tkiya, you only ruin that tkiya. Uvetkiya achrona imasa betocha kol acher shever otrua kilkel oto aseder. So you mess up the first tkiya, nothing wrong. Do another tkiya and start from scratch. You mess up the last tkiya, you also messed up what was in the middle. Hamakri yakri tkiya rishona kematchil. Right, there's whether you say the tkiya rishona, when you're calling it out, you should call it tkiya going up, and the tkiya achrona, you should say going down, tkiya, which helps the chazin, which helps the baltokeya. I mean, I guess it could happen that like a baltokeya gets like into the shvung and gets a little confused. Is this the first tkiya, the last tkiya? It also helps orient the people that you say it with that kind of trup. Tkiya, tkiya. Tashrat dimyushav yakri b'neshima achat. The tkiyot at the beginning, as Corey said, the tkiya shvarim trua tkiya are done b'neshima achat. The shvarim trua is done b'neshima achat. So the makri should call it out, shvarim trua, and the tashrat during chazaras hashat is done b'shtei neshimot. Right, the shliach, the baltokeya takes up a quick breath in between the shvarim and the trua, and the makri should call those shvarim trua, which indicates that it's done b'shnei neshimot and
v'afa. Does there have to be a breath, or it can just be a pause
for the baltokeya?
Yeah, the
baltokeya should breathe.
Breath.
But you should do it quickly.
It's right. A breath, and going back to Benny's earlier question about a hefseg, if it's too long there you can create a hefseg. Right.
And if it's not a hefseg, if it's too long, it can create an unreasonably long shvarim trua, for which you may not have the coverage of the tkiyot on either side. Ve'al kol parim yeh hefseg katzar kemo shekatuv v'beit Yosef. But as it should be a right, Right? Now there's a quick intake, very, very, very quick intake of air. Corey, you want to demonstrate it? The difference between the Shema Achad, Shnei Neshamot? That was the Shema Achad. Okay. I'm not sure we could hear perfectly.
I saw the difference. I didn't hear the difference. I saw you take a breath.
You can certainly feel a difference when you're taking a breath in.
And yeah, that's not what worries me. I don't think I've ever done it that way, actually. I have to practice that.
Again, this is not. It's the minhag. It's not ma'akev. And sometimes when you're in the thick of it, it's hard to remember to do it. It's not if you're able to practice to do it, you should try. And then finally, these are halachot that we all know. Hatokeya v'ashomer ya'amdu b'li l'smoch aleze davar. This is one of the mitzvot you have to stand for. Now, standing means not just standing; it means you shouldn't lean on anything. You know, like if you have a bima, if you're like leaning on the bima, that's not proper. One shouldn't do that. Somebody is elderly. If somebody has a other problem, you certainly yotze if you do it sitting down. But the halacha is to stand, and certainly the Baal Tokeya himself should stand without leaning on anything. In other words, it's a euphemism that we call the first tkiyot, the tkiyot de miyushav, because we stand up for those also. Those are called the tkiyot de miyushav to differentiate between the tkiyot de miumad, which are recited during the amida, right? Not that we sit for one and stand for the other. Tokeya shiyatze yadei choval. So this might be the case, because I think we're going to have lots of different tkiyat shofar around the neighborhood to help people out, people that are in bidud, people that can't make it to shul, etc. If you're blowing a second time later in the day, you can and should recite the brachot again. However, if somebody there for whom you are blowing is able to recite the brachot, which I have to imagine is virtually anybody in our neighborhood that we're going to have to be blowing for, men or women, are able to recite the brachot. So one of those people should say the brachot. If you have a mixed group of men and women, a man should recite the brachot, including the Shechianu, and be motzi everyone else. And if it's a group of women, one of the women should recite the brachot to be motzia all of the other women. It's a question if a man who's already been yotzei and is blowing just for a group of women, whether or not he can recite the bracha on behalf of only a group of women. It's advisable in that case that a woman should recite the brachot on behalf of everyone else. Just a general halacha that it's good to know if we can communicate it to people, it's possible. There are going to be people that are going to be hearing the shofar up on the balconies. Like, we're having a minyan. I know that there are people in our building. There are people in our building who are going to be on their balconies seven floors above us. Whether they'll hear the davening, the Kriyat Torah, I'm not sure. They'll certainly hear the shofar. The sound of the shofar carries very far. And as we know from the Mishnah and Rosh Hashanah, you don't have to be standing there. You can be any place. You can be in your room in Bidud elsewhere in the building. And if you can hear the shofar, you're yotzei, as long as you have kavanah. You know, that's the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah about you're walking through the alleyway behind the shul and you hear the shofar. If you have kavanah, you're yotzei. As long as you know it's a shofar, you're yotzei. If you think it's the donkey down in the wadi, so then you're not yotzei, because you don't have kavanah that you're having the mitzvah. So maybe you can hear the shofar. Maybe that person upstairs can hear the shofar and be yotzei, but they can't hear the bracha. So first of all, the Baal Tokeya shouldn't, particularly those of us that are, not everybody, except for the minyan in there's got a small minyan in the Beit Midrash. But everyone else, the other four minyanim, are all taking place under non-ideal circumstances. They're outdoors, they're spread out. The main minyan in the shul, the Baal Tokeya is going to be in the courtyard, and there are going to be people in the main shul listening and people in the kiddush room listening. You have to really be very, very, very loud. You have to be very loud when you say the brachot. But if it can be communicated to people who are hearing the shofar from afar, who may not be able to hear the brachot of the Baal Tokeya, they can and should recite the brachot themselves. It happens very often. Women come to shul and they miss the first, that could be men also, they miss the tkiot miyushav. They miss the first set of brachot when we say the first set of tkiot when we say the brachot. It happened once, my wife, you know, when the kids were little and it was a struggle to get out of the house on time, to get there in time for shul. And this year it's going to be even earlier because we're starting from Nishmat and we're cutting out piyutim and musaf. Tkiat Shofar is going to make sure the women know that Tkiat Shofar is going to be much earlier than it usually is. On the Luach, we change the time, but not everybody pays attention to the Luach. We should make sure, maybe we should send that out b'mefurash in the email, that Tkiat Shofar is going to be much earlier than, Adi, what time did we estimate it was going to be, like around 9 o'clock?
At 9, probably is about right.
Yeah.
It could be a tiny bit earlier, depending on.
So it happened once that Lonnie came to shul. She rushed to get to shul on time for Tkiat Shofar. She walked in just as she saw Corey put the shofar to his mouth. And just as I was about to call Tkia. And she got there right after the brachot. So she knew. She knew enough to say, she recited the brachot to herself at that moment. Or if a woman shows up sometime during Shachris before the first set of 10 that we recite at the Malchiot, before she hears that Tkiat Shofar, she can recite the brachot to herself. Finally, the last thing I would say is there was some discussion about, you know, covering the shofar with a mask to avoid any spittle coming out. It seems to me that the consensus of people was that this should be avoided, that it somehow changes the sound of the shofar. There were different opinions in the poskim about what to do about this. I don't think that anybody will be doing this, putting the mask over the shofar. It would also muffle the sound, and since we have people davening outside over a great distance, that's not preferable. But I do think that maybe the Baal Tokeya should stand in a way that, the, you know, generally speaking, the halacha is the shofar should be held on the right side of the mouth facing up. That's not ma'akev. Like, if the right side of your mouth gets very tired, if you have a little blister there or something and you have to move it to the left side, absolutely you can do. But l'chatchila, you should put the shofar on the right side of the mouth, and the shofar, of course, should be facing up, not down. But that's, of course, l'chatchila. Maybe the Baal Tokeya should stand in a way or stand in a place or face in a direction where the wide side of the shofar is in spritzing right directly on people. I think that's a good compromise to not have to put a mask over the shofar, so that if you're afraid of the spittle, that's not going to be.
Maybe you should stand either ahead of the minion rather than on the bima, ahead or to the side, so that we're blowing away from people.
Right, perhaps.
So that's what I was going to ask, is if I should stand in my place by the window, or should I stand by the bima and just try and wink away?
You're standing up, so you're breaking into the
floor. Look, in other words, the best thing to do, I think, would to first of all do it in a way that you're not compromising the ability of people to hear it. Like, for example, in our backyards, the way that the minion is going to be in our houses, in Adi and my backyard, you have people spread out, you know, over a certain distance. So it's probably best, and then people upstairs on the balconies. So it's probably best to have the Baal Tokeya stand. Anyway, the mechitza is front to back. You know, one gina is going to be, Adi's backyard is going to be the men, and my backyard is going to be the women. The Baal Tokeya should maybe stand close to the mechitza, but he should stand in a way that the mechitza, that the shofar is pointing towards the wall and not towards the crowd or something like that. But each minion has its own construction.
Right.
And but it should be something you think about. It shouldn't just be an oversight and you end up blowing on everybody.
Right.
Well, I'm not sure how much Dr. Benzev can tell us how realistic it is that there's a lot of aerated spittle coming through the shofar. But it does seem to be something.
Well,
the doctors and the
Rabbanim. Yeah, number one, you're outside and you're spread out, so most likely it's not a problem. But if you're worried about it, then we should stand in a way that the shofar is being blown away from the people, whether it's in front or the side, you know, against the building or to the left. You know, probably we want to stand away from, you know, so the shofar is pointed away from the people to make them feel better. But in practicality, it's probably not a problem.
And if you and I aren't worried about this, I guarantee you that someone at the meeting is going to be worried.
Someone
whatever
will
we
be.
Can do, whatever we can do to lessen people's anxiety is
so if it means standing, you know, by the fence in the right corner against the building, then that's what we'll do, you know.
So I think that's the
that's the way
to do it.
Just want everyone to feel comfortable.
Just a point on this, whereas normally the Baal Tokea and the Makri are standing together at the Bima, which facilitates the communication between them, the nonverbal communication. Right. If the Baal Tokea is standing somewhere off to the side, Steve, like you're standing by the window or near Makom or whatever it is, you know, off in the corner, that communication is going to be somewhat impeded. Right. You should just have a word between yourself and whoever your Makri is so that you can still have an understanded line of communication, how you're going to convey one to the other what it is that one needs from the other.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, we'll find a spot to stand that we're close to each other and that, you know, spitting all over.
And again, the only thing that 2020 has provided us that's useful here is, I guess, we only have one day of Tkiyat Shofar. There's no shofar on Shabbos, of course. So there's only one day of Tkiyat Shofar, and helps us, cuts down on potential problems. So I think that's...
So you said the Lam Natzeach we're only going to do once, right?
Yeah.
But you can say to yourself the other six.
Yeah, if you want to say that, if you feel very strongly about that, those Kabbalistic practices, you should do that. And even the psukim, the mikra satan psukim, should be done with this. Yeah. You know, like anything, you can say it. I mean, I was joking. People were getting annoyed when we had the meeting. I said, any one thing, you can say it fast. You can say, Aresh Yisifah, say no. Or you can say, Aresh.
Yeah, this is a year when
you get the point.
Fast.
So
don't slip it.
You know, in my capacity as editor of the Journal of Tradition, people often ask me how long should an article be. They want to write something. How long? So I said it doesn't matter. It's not how many words you use. It's how you use them. And the same thing here. It's not how many piyutim you say or how many piyutim you skip or how many. It's how you do it. So in other words, if the Chazonim act with some dispatch, so then there's time, you know, for some more. And, you know, that's just the budgeting things. But we prepared these guidelines for the Chazonim for what should be said and what should be skipped in order to try to keep the davening down to about 3 hours. Okay. So, I mean, the one hole in the system is the Sifrei Torah, except for the shul itself, I think everybody's only going to have one Sefer Torah, so you'll have to keep rolling, and it's a big roll from one, you know, from the Kriya to the Maftir, so that should be done, you know, as properly, but you know, there's no way to fill that. So you're going to fill that time with other things. You can make it out to whatever it is.
Shukar, Jeff.
Okay, Yashukar, then we should be Zoche next year to all be together, but it's worthwhile between these halachot from year to year in all cases.
You're going to send out that list that you read?
I'll send out the Luach, yeah.
Enjoy. Send out the Luach, and there's the recording also. Thank you.
Okay.
Just remind one thing, when the first Kia was shorter than the Shvarim Trua, do you have to go back to the first Kia?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. If the first Kia, let's say the first Kia is 4 seconds, and then the Shvarim Trua is 5 seconds. So you're dead in the water, you go back to the first Kia and start again.
Okay.
if the first kia is 5 seconds and then the middle is 4 seconds and then the final tkia is 3 seconds, you've ruined the whole thing. You have to go back to the tkia rishona.
What? And again, that, when in doubt, go back to the first one.
And when in doubt, you have to go back to the first one. Yeah. Again, the main problem, the main problem that we run into is the length of the tkiot for the tashrat. So the balei tokei, I have to know for the tashrat, put a little extra beat in there for the tkiot to make sure that it's going to cover the shvarim tru'a that's in the middle. Okay?
Okay.
And count in your head.
Count in your head, yeah. That's
what another question is that the first 30 you said that is without breathing, and then you have the second ones that are with breathing between the shvarim tru'a.
If the balei tokei, if the balei
tokei, the third one? The third set.
The third set is shtei neshimot. In other words, the we count. Corey has this particular minhag about the sound of the shvarim at the end, but generally speaking, the division of the minhagim are what we do at the 30 at the beginning are called the tkiot demiushav, and then everything else is tkiot demiumad. Tkiot demiumad. And again, I ask that people keep the minhag about how we organize the final tkiot at the end with 30 before Kaddish and 10 in the middle of the Kaddish.
I mean 30 in the middle and 10 after.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right.
Yeah.
I think I said that incorrectly earlier. Did I say that incorrectly earlier?
I thought you said it correctly earlier, but I'm not sure.
Let me repeat. Okay, 30 in the middle of the Kaddish Tzitkabel.
Before Tzitkabel.
Before Tzitkabel. 30 during the break before Tzitkabel. And then the final 10 immediately after the Kaddish. In some Sidurim, you'll see that the 10 are recited later after Ein Kelokeinu or after Aleinu. We don't do that because people tend to leave or for whatever other reason. But again, let me repeat that. The 30 kolot at the end, we do in the middle of the Kaddish, followed by the 10 immediately after the Kaddish. Okay.
In terms of practicing, we can... I read something that you're not allowed to practice on Rosh Hashanah, the whole like not blowing a Rosh Hashanah. I see Corey's hand, so I can practice on Friday if I want.
On Friday? Yes.
Erev.
No. Erev, yeah.
But you said not practicing on Erev Rosh Hashanah?
Yeah, he's talking about the minhag that we don't blow on Erev Rosh Hashanah.
Sure, we don't blow.
Our bill of Satan.
We don't blow, but meaning practicing is okay.
Practicing Gegel's a date.
Okay.
Okay.
One comment, Jeff and I have oftentimes over the years come across an anomaly in some of the machzorim about a tkia gedola in the umad, I don't know what said it, what if I guess it's
after Shofar,
when you get to number 60 towards the end of the Chazaras Hashatz before the last 40, right? The last
sound for the bracha of Shofrot.
Right. Whether or not the last tkiah there is a tkiah gedola or not. Some machzorim have it as a tkiah gedola and some of them don't.
The tkiah gedola.
Letami, you don't need to stick a tkiah gedola in there. You've got enough tkiot gedolot. You've got one at the end of the first set of 30 in the miyushav. And you've got one of the last set of the 10. When you're done at the very end of the Kaddish, you don't need to stick another one.
While we're mentioning this, let me mention, there really is no halachic status of a tkiya gedola. Meaning, there's no shi'ur for a tkiya gedola. As long as it has to be, you yotze. The minag is to blow an extra long tkiya. Some balei tokeya really try to outdo themselves. What's the record?
Who are they?
I don't know, but there are people.
I think someone kept it going for a good 40 seconds. Yeah. Once, I don't know.
But in other words, try. You know, certainly the tkiya gedola, after the tkiyot miyushav, don't give yourself a hernia so that you won't be able to finish the next 60 over the rest of the morning.
If you do tkiya gedola, you have to skip a period in musaf.
Yes, right.
Okay. I heard, I'm not a Tobal Toke, but I heard a tip that maybe you can keep a glass of water next to you and just to wet your fingers, to wet your lips, because it may help. That just may be a tip for Balei Tkia.
One sees that. Okay. I mean, Corey, what do you other? What you have other practical advice?
Move the find a comfortable spot on your lips, but move it around because even if you find that comfortable spot, you will develop a numbness and a blister on that one spot. So move it around. And oftentimes what I find is that shifting the angle of the shofar on that spot can also help tremendously, whether it's up or down or left or right. Keep your lips moist. I've never used that the tip of the glass of water there, but I have seen it before. Don't use a cloth because then you've got an issue of a schita or something like that. But you know, a cup of water next to you is an interesting idea. But Steve, before what
else? If you have saliva,
then you're golden.
Or you'll be in bidud. Yeah,
just move it. Or
you're b'shteinu shimot, Steve. It's just a matter of don't take the shofar off your lips. Just quickly, you know, inhale whether it's through the side of your mouth or your nose. Just to take a fraction of a second and take in inhalation and then continue.
Yeah, I mean, I find that if I move the shofar a little bit, it throws me off sometimes. So, so the shifting left right, I have to, find my spot and not move it.
Okay. So, yasher koach to all of you and batzlacha to us all.
Amen.
Yeah, I'll miss you guys.